Welcome back, new you maniacs, to the spinner rack here at season 5, if you can believe it, of the Marvel New Universe Comics podcast, the voice of the new universe. We are your hosts.
Steven with the Star Brand, number 18, and
Andy with yet another backup story, though a non-Nicieza backup story, if I read it correctly.
is Nightmask in it?
No, but he's mentioned.
Close enough. Okay.
Close enough. A new universe launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we're headed into 1989. The world knows about paranormals. The US government has started capturing and drafting them into the army and the CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the pit and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be heading towards war.
Whoa.
War. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go insane. I mean, go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individuals if you already have a favorite. You can also find us at kickersinc.com for all sorts of stuff on there and yet to be on there. And you can find us on X at Kickers Inc. You can tell which handles were easy to find.
EP7 is apparently a European football team and a very popular one by the standards of how much they're willing to pay for a website.
Oh, we should be able to find DP7 jerseys then, probably, right?
Ooh, that's a thought.
Hidden
This
potential.
week, we get back to the bi-monthly The Star Brand, where it came from, how it got to Earth. What energies it employs are mysteries. Whoever wields its power can do virtually anything. The only limitation to its use is the imagination and courage of its wielder.
The only
This.
limitation to the comic book is the imagination and courage of the writer.
The Marvel Age solicit was the Star Brand 18. America has elected its first paranormal president. And he might li even live long enough to take office if the all-powerful Star Baby doesn't reach him first. Written and penciled by John Byrne. 32 pages, Mando offset paper. Direct sales only, $1.50.
Wild.
Interesting. A little off track there,
Right.
but
At this
and
point, it's got the writer correct, just not necessarily the character.
Yeah, and Reagan was supposedly already a paranormal, but okay, so we've got a
Oh, yeah, good
new, we've
point.
elected a paranormal, so he's a paranormal when he starts.
Right.
And he light might live long enough to take office. I'll be honest, the book seems to suggest that he has already taken office.
Right,
Yeah.
which maybe he did. I don't know. It's
So.
maybe they transferred power extra quick back then.
Here you go.
Like, oh yeah, wait,
Enjoy.
there's a whole thing that happens in January that we forgot about. Anyway, yes, there's a backup story starring Justice in this time,
What?
and
Justice still has a book.
well. Hey, he's in the backups. And maybe we can scrape together some other stuff to talk about.
Sounds good. Well, we will dig on into the Star Brand number 18, which is cover dated March 1989. We believe made it to the stands near you on December 13, 1988. The cover is interesting.
Brought to you by Microsoft Paint.
I don't know what they were using back then, but this is in what we would now call an entirely clip art generated image. It is the logo, the Star Brand, and then a Something that's kind of a cross between the Star Brand image and like a targeting site. You
Yeah.
know, it's at first I was just thinking like a rifle site, but it's not exactly that. And it's I think with the sort of the extra spikes around the perimeter, I think it's meant to look a little like the brand itself.
Yeah, definitely, because you can kind of see the moon-ish shape, like left to right, but.
Oh yeah. So, but yeah, then the center is like an image of the White House, and it looks just like a stock photo that's been copied and pasted. Yeah.
Yeah, 80s computerized.
It the logo or the there's some wordage, Target, the White House, and White House is
It's in money
typeface. It looks like
font.
it's like a money, yeah,
Yeah.
like a dollar bill. And there's also a shout out guest starring DP7.
With the old DP7 logo.
Oh, good catch. Yeah, this reminded me of several like stories of like when like the letterer for the Silent Snake issue of G.I. Joe said she got paid for lettering that issue, or John Byrne himself would do like the whiteout issue of Alpha Flight, where everyone's just kind of knocking around in a snowstorm and it's just white pages for several. He penciled and inked those according to the vouchers he submitted. But anyway, someone got paid for doing a cover here. Probably it was actually credited. No, Byrne, Brown Byrne? Maybe that was the where the photo came from. But anyway, we will look inside the inside front text, which I haven't really talked about in a while, at least on the other books, does not really change too much issue to issue, giving you the background of the title. But like, what's the most recent thing is just one sentence. Now the new wielder of the Star Brand, Jacob Burnley, goes to New York City. There you go. So.
This feels very phoned in. And yet, as we'll see,
Phoned in?
something
What?
this is kind of
For
an
the
interesting
Star
issue.
Brand? It is. The credits are John Byrne writer slash breakdowns, Tom Morgan finishes, and the rest of the New Universe editorial crew. And we have a splash page with the title, We the People. And it is superimposed on a pretty nice sort of single shot of Stephanie Harrington from DP7. She's in that kind of spandexy outfit, like gymnastic outfit that she
Yeah, it's like
picked
her
up in
CIA
CIA.
squad outfit.
But she's no mask or anything, and glittering a bit. And in the background, you can see she's kind of in an alleyway with a Voight in 88 poster on it. And she is facing the reader directly. Very attractive John Byrne art. And she is the dialogue is, well, now, I really think you don't think you should be doing that, do you? She's a slightly fist clenching pose, so
Was
it's
this kind
nice.
of like the She-Hulk thing? Like she's talking to us? Getting a little vibe for that.
Maybe there's a little meta in there.
I mean, it's not really meta, but like the pose and the facing the reader kind of thing hits the same way, I think.
It does, yeah, you are correct, sir. I'm trying to think. Would he be talking to us like, shouldn't you be ashamed of yourself reading the New Universe? This...
Could be.
Sorry. Flip it on in. We have the location, New York City, paranormal capital of North America, unofficially. And we see looking over her shoulder, in the alleyway, there is a probably young woman with like who's like sort of hiding in the corner.
Cowering
She's
in fear.
cowering in fear. Thank you. Oh, man, what's happened to me? It's terrible.
No bubble tea.
damn you, matcha. You let me down. She's like spilled a grocery bag around, and there's a couple of ne'er-do-wells who are both, we'll call them paranormals, although mutant would be a better phrase for them.
Yeah, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle kind of mutants, more than X-Men kind of mutants.
There you go, yeah. The there's a pink one with sort of a diamond-shaped head, and a green one who's sort of I don't know how to describe him.
It's kind of lumpy and looks a little
Misshapen,
melting or like pudding-ish. I don't know.
yeah.
It's got a
Okay.
mohawk.
So the pink one's like another dame, and Lumpy is more than just a dame, Pinhead, a babe. Come to join the party, did you, sweet face? We don't mind. We'd much rather play with you than this bag of bones. Careful, Spotty. Watch out for the sparkles. Stephanie's got a wry grin on her face. Oh, don't worry yourselves about them, boys. They're just decoration. And then she does a big roundhouse kick on Spotty, the lumpy guy. This is what you need to worry about. Goon. So he goes down, and Pinhead continues, "Holy spit, ain't nobody ever done that to Spotty. Not since him and me got changed. You just made a big mistake, cutie. Show her why, Pinhead." Yeah, it's been weeks since I spiked a dame. Let's just leave that phrase out of our minds
Won't read
forever.
into it too much.
But yeah, his sort of diamond-shaped head suddenly grows all these literal spikes. They're like heavier than porcupine quills, but you know, turns them into a upside down whatever. Is that a medieval weapon? I'm trying to think now.
Oh, like the Iron Maiden kind of thing, or like a mace, I'm thinking.
Yeah, like I can't think of something that you'd hit with. So maybe the Iron Maiden's the best. So he pops out these spikes on his head, and then he does this like Scooby-Doo run right at Stephanie. Doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. Say goodnight, Gracie, which is a line from, I think, George Burns, who was like 100 years old at the time or something.
That's the best I came up with, yeah.
Great, great jokes, very contemporary. Stephanie jumps out of the way and makes fun of the guy. I was dodging better rushes than that when I was just a cheerleader in Sheboygan. That was a long time before I got special. Not bad, girly, but that was just a warm-up. It takes me a while to get up to steam. Now I'm ready for you. Now Lumpy is about 20 or 30 feet tall, and he's taking up the entire alley.
And
Stephanie.
naked.
Well, let's move on past that.
Yeah,
Stephanie is taken aback. Leaving, what a good idea. Dave, Mastodon, she said, being sure to use his code name as they always do
right.
in DP7. Right here, Steffi. Looks like you found yourself a bit of a problem, yes.
So
And
much
as
for the code names.
Dave notices that, what I like to know is how he got so big so fast. It took me months to get to my present size. And Dave is, of course, as we know, bigger than a normal person, but he's not like 20 or 30 feet tall. And yeah, that's one of the new universe reality, more real things is like you can't just double your size without an explanation very easily. I mean, mass has limits, you know what I mean? Anyway, Stephanie says, careful, you've never gone up against anything this big. And Dave takes a swing at him. Nothing.
Not the best you got, Baldy. Maybe I think I'll knock your head all the way to Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie is a couple hours north of New York City.
So that would be a hard punch, is what he's trying to say.
Yes. He didn't even feel it.
Oh,
Well, come on in for backup. It's Chrome, aka Jenny Swenson. Looks like this is going to have to be a two-handed job, Mastodon. TM. No,
yeah,
there's no TM. You hit him low, and I'll hit him high. She jumps at him. She cannot fly, but still, yeah. The both of them take swings and try to take him down, but they kind of bounce back. Chrome lands in Dave's arms. It didn't work. He's just laughing it off. Stephanie's confused too. It's not possible. How can any human be so powerful, even a paranormal? Well, like you say, miss, it's not possible. Dun, dun, dun. It's Jacob Burnley,
What?
aka Wilford Brimley. And he is hanging, holding on to the lumpy in his original form
With clothes.
with clothes. Huh? Who are you? Who's he? Hey, it's the creep from the alley. But he turned into. No, he didn't. He just made you think he did. Wah,
Even
wah,
the
wah. You know,
people he didn't even know was there.
reading through the book this week, I noticed that it falls pretty precisely into the 787 layout of Shooter and Liefeld. There's we're at the end of the show, demonstrate your powers at the end of page 7.
Yeah, good call.
I like that. We switch over to not far away, where there's a loft where the DP7s, I think, are living together. It was a little confused over in their own title. Like someone is staying with someone else, but I don't know if it's like everyone staying with everyone. But anyway, there's some big room, and we've got Randy O'Brien, Antibody, Charlie Beck, Friction, and Miriam Sorensen Sponge, and they're all looking after Stephanie Harrington's kids. And by looking after, I mean letting them read comic books and watch TV. These are, you know, Randy is stuck in the antibody. Jenny is stuck as Chrome. Miriam is always shown as having absorbed a lot of water. Charlie looks about the same. She's you know, walking on the ceiling and is complaining about the smog and rain. Randy gives her one of these like long-winded I'm the science character answers. Well, that's primarily from the nuclear winter effect caused by the volcano growing where Pittsburgh used to be. So far, it's pretty much confined to North America, whereas in the Southern Hemisphere. All right, Andy, Randy. We don't have that kind of cute back and forth with Charlie and Randy we did in their main title, but
No.
they're like wondering what they'll do for jobs since they look like more freakish than ever. And Miriam says, ha, that only happens in comic books, Charlie. Nobody this side of Nolan Voight has the power to affect the whole world. And walking right in and picking up on that conversation, it's Chrome. Or so we used to think, Miriam. Meet the man who just changed our minds. Hi, Jacob Burnley's the name. Call me Jake. Jacob really hates, like, not introducing himself to characters. I think you know, it's fine to do it with like other paranormals, but when you introduce yourself with to Mac Browning, oh, hey, you
Yeah.
haven't drafted me? Maybe you should come check me out. I'm this guy at this address. Take a
We
look.
were officially using his name as Wilford Brimley.
We maybe that's what he should have been doing, but anyway. We have like everyone sort of moved into a circle on the floor, and they're talking about their adventures of the afternoon. But the
Sit around in
monster,
a circle and listen to the old guy talk.
they actually gave him like a comfy chair. That's great. Yeah. So if it was just a big kind of hypnotic illusion, what were he hitting? The side of a building. Lucky I happened along when I did too. Another couple of hits and you demolished it. Okay, so he was just happened by and saw what was going on. Miriam point asks, were you able to use this Starbrand power of yours to shut down that paranormal's hypnotic zap? And Dave follows right along with, and you could do that to any paranormal? Hey, maybe you could use it against. Hey! He's suddenly interrupted by a fleet of the mini antibodies. And Randy's like, sorry, Dave. I guess my antibody's a little frisky today. Well, you will keep them under control, Randy, or I'll make anti-burgers out of them.
Get that one out of my pocket. You didn't really say
I'm definitely not Ben Grimm here, but anyway.
that.
Sure, David, Mr. Burnley. Let me take us a little stroll. So Randy grabs Brimley and Dave and strolls up to the roof. My antibodies didn't really get out of control, David. I'd simply realized you must have come to the same conclusion I had, and why I had to stop you blurting it out in front of the girls. Yeah, I guess I was just so excited I wasn't thinking. Wilfred's confused. I don't follow you here, boys. I thought you and the ladies were are some kind of team. Why can't you talk freely in front of them? We are friends, Mr. Burnley. I don't know what we can read into between the lines there. Probably nothing. Only now the women are under the influence of the most powerful paranormal we've ever encountered, except maybe for you. And if Dave or I do anything to interfere with his plans, he'll mentally force them to kill themselves. That's terrible. You can find out all about that in DP7 number 28, as the editor notes. But what occurred to me and Randy's was that maybe you could stop Voight. Voight? Yes, our foe is Philip Nolan Voight, the President of the United States.
Gasp.
Wilfred Brimley really needs to get a sit down, get another bowl of oatmeal to handle this information. Meanwhile, roughly 500 miles west of there. No one wants to help me. No one wants to be my friend. There's a lone figure is walking through the wasteland where Pittsburgh used to be, surrounded by debris and either snow or volcanic ash. The same sort of thing has been described in previous books. I never understood before. There was never anyone who really cared about me. It was only fear. They were afraid of me, afraid of my power. Now they think I'm powerless. They shun me. They mock me. But I'll show them. I'll show them all. The power will be mine again. I'll be back. You hear that, world? Ken Connell will be back. Ken's
I remember
looking.
a time years ago where that may have made me excited about a comic book direction.
I'm at last optimistic. Yeah, Ken is looking like the wild man look with the beard and everything, but he isn't talking as crazy as he has in the last few issues, so possible improvement. Anyway. Again, this is one of those things I noticed before. Byrne is really strong about cutting things from page to page. So it's like page of Wilfred Brimley, then page of Ken Connell, now page of Brimley talking to his grandson. And then we see the sort of nice house in the country, and Brimley's talking to Billy, and I guess, are you really gonna do it? I guess I have to, Billy. Starboy, give me this here power so I could do what I could to fix up all the things is wrong with our poor old planet. And it seems like President Voight is pretty well on his way to being one of the worst things that's wrong.
Fix the volcano. Okay.
Voight control the weather? Because of the
Stop
volcano, he says.
Rodsvow. Wake up, firmly.
Can you really trust those New York paranormals, Gramps? I mean, New York, you know, kind of weirdos there. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah there, Gramps. It's what you always told us.
How do you know about that? It's like I've been reading your magazines.
Didn't mean to leave those around there, Billy.
Penthouse has some really insightful articles, Gramps.
I mean, the president. Well, it wouldn't be the first time we've had us a chief executive who wasn't entirely on the up and up, Billy. I'll just leave that. Still, I never saw myself as a John Wilkes Booth or a Lee Harvey Oswald, but I'm willing to try.
I'll try anything once.
Starboy gave me this power. He said I could do anything I wanted. Kill the president? At least one. I figure, what the heck? Anyway, he says, I won't, one way or the other, I won't be able to sleep at night wondering if I don't do this. So, first thing I got to do is get you somewhere where you'll be safe. And as we sort of pan out, we see that this is the like blue area on the moon that Burn Grimley had created a couple of issues ago. So he is just hanging out there in this airless void, but he doesn't want to leave Billy there in case anything happens to him and this would just evaporate.
Right, because nothing at all like the Inhumans or anything.
Not at all. The Uatu? I don't have any what. Can't come to the door right now. Sorry, buddy. You have to go watch something else. Back to Washington, D.C. on Earth. Sorry to disturb you, Mr. President. One of the aides breaks in. What's the problem? Defense perimeter has tracked a small object heading on intercept vector with this building, sir. Some of the boys seem to think it might be biological. Ooh. Voight and the aide step outside onto like a porch, although it's again kind of like snowy outside. Ah, there it is. A man, a paranormal. You can see him, Mr. President? I can't. The president has to have powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men, Johnson. Inform the staff we're about to have company. I do like the. Of course, I can see for 500 miles. I'm the president. Okay. We have an interesting bit of Brimley flying, and he is already sort of descending onto the White House lawn from
He's
a,
like mentally trying to bore everybody to death with his White House facts.
It is quite amazing. He makes a little mental, musing about the history of the White House when it was constructed and burned in the War of 1812 and all this. And it's funny. He also says, "Always wanted to visit Washington. Strange, I never got around to it in 78 years." Wow, never, never really. Wow. So he says, I can still remember all the things Mrs. Parmenter taught us back in grade three history class. He is 78 in 1988. So he's born in about 1910. Third grade history class would have been he would have been taking in 1919.
Dang.
Wow. If you want like a little perspective on the people we're dealing with here. Yeah, that seems like that's like right after the Roman times, right? From this day and age, but okay. And so yeah, he lands on the lawn, walks up the front door, I guess. I sure hope those youngsters in New York were mistaken about President Voight. I voted for him, and then I had to go back and do it twice more just to make sure he'd get in. But anyway, I'm not so sure of this power of mine that I want to risk some kind of fight right here in the And this aide comes in. Good afternoon, sir. You are expected. Shows him into a sort of a study room. Ah, forgive me for not meeting you in the Oval Office, but I thought we might prefer a more casual setting, Mr. Burnley, the name. Jake Burnley. Wow, you just can't wait to get that out of your mouth, can
My social security number is.
you? I'd like to go back just a little bit to Ken Connell, when he decided to announce himself to the world. He like brought a moon lander to the
Right.
White House lawn and all that. It was a little bit more, I mean, at least he tried to have a mask and all that. Tried to impress people. I don't know.
I don't know. Burnley's got that like old man, I don't care thing going on.
He's got a lot of that. Yes.
Shoplifting.
As long as my social security check keeps coming in, I don't care what you do to me, this planet, anything. Thanks for seeing me, Mr. President. I know you're a busy man. And he thinks to himself that Voight seems normal enough and friendly enough, even though Voight has shown in a stranger who just flew onto his lawn, which, you know, definitely is not like someone trying to get you to lower your defenses. Yes, I am a busy man, Mr. Brinley. A very busy man. A very, very busy man. But anyway, I also know paranormals are important. Coffee? Oh, so you know about something about how these folks got their superpowers, sir? Of course. Before I entered into politics, I was in charge of a very special clinic devoted to the study of just such phenomena. Yes, that's what the people who asked me to come talk to you told me. Although maybe I shouldn't have said that. They seem to think you're something of a bad egg, Mr. President. Do they indeed? Well, I suppose every president has his share of detractors. Who are these people, by the way? Anyone I should know?
He looks really evil in that shot, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's just, at this point, he looks human but evil. So he's just kind of, I'm just wheedling some info out of you and talking in a nice, calming tone of voice. Because I don't know if your power is to, fly or to explode with the force of a million suns. I don't know. Sure, you hope you won't think I'm being rude, but they asked me not to tell you that until us. Well, like I said, I hope you don't think I'm being rude. I couldn't tell if they like type that was a typo or he's just actually repeating himself. I don't know. You know what I mean up there?
I think he's repeating himself.
Yeah. Well, of course not, Mr. Burnley. I'll have a seat. It's also a matter of security. I got to worry about more paranormals coming, and if they are going to send more people come to kill me? I might, someone more hostile? Oh, I don't know that they do that, sir. I always told them I wasn't gonna use my power in any way that could hurt you. But they still thought it would be a good idea if I came here. I see. And would that have been Randall O'Brien? I don't believe I know that name, Mr. President. No, how about Dave Landers? Or Stephanie Harrington? Charlotte Beck? Or did they use their code names? As most paranormals try to do. Maintain a little secrecy, Burnley.
Are you slipping into Mr. Burns there?
Sorry, Adam. Antibody? Mastodon? Anyone? And,
Well, sorry, those were just really from the letters pages.
Vibratron.
Lube.
I think the time for playing games is past now, Mr. Burnley. Your little friends have been foolish, and they are going to have to pay for their foolishness. And we have, he starts like going scorcher mode, and we're at 7 plus 8 at this point. So I think the fight is just about to begin.
Does it seem like President Voight kind of escalated that a little quickly and unnecessarily?
Yeah, it's a. I mean, he could play the like I'm just a normal guy thing a lot longer, but I mean, this Voight comes across as very much like, focused on DP7
Yeah.
and ready to throw down at a moment's notice. The one
Perhaps
from DP7,
overconfident.
it's yeah, DP7 itself, the guy like. For quite a few issues, we had no idea he had any power or what those powers were. Once we saw that there was something, it was much more covert. But In this case, he is, I don't know, ready to go to town on a moment's notice. I don't know. Like I said, scorcher mode. Scuzz, did you take over the mind of Philip Nolan Voigt and insert your soul into him or something like that? I don't know. It's a comic book. Like I said, I mean, visually, it is like, you know, normal, kind of evil looking, normal. There's also, what is it? Miracle Man 1 or 2. There's like a he's like looking up his old friends or something, and one of them seems perfectly normal and is like in his office and everything, and oh, what's been going on? Oh, nothing much. And then suddenly he, you know, basically turns into Satan like this, and it's like, you know, it reminds me a bit of that, but anyway. We as we at the end of the page, cut smash cut to Jupiter, largest planet of the solar system. Did not see that one coming. And there's a figure kind of draped in a cloth. It is, of course, the Star Baby, although he is the Star Man Child, we could call him now. I don't know. And there's a lot of thought balloons floating around him. All the evidence points to the same conclusion. I have spent many weeks seeking an answer to the mystery of the origin of the Star Brand power. Now that I have found it, I can scarcely credit it. It was a monolith in orbit around Jupiter. I never expected.
Is he just out there thinking, or like was he actually like looking at something?
I thought he was supposed to be like going to other stars or something, but and he really he just made it to Jupiter, which if you saw 2010, the year we make contact, like another space probe following up from 2001, A Space Odyssey finds these, you know, more alien stuff in the orbit around Jupiter. Otherwise, I'm like, why would that be the place to find
It's
anything
probably
like
just
that?
cool to draw.
It is cool. I mean, if you know, what was that movie? Outland, maybe? There was one that was like set on one of the moons of Jupiter, and you always had this nice, cool background. Anyway,
Anyway.
the star, whatever, continues. For this to have happened, the universe must have folded in on itself for an instant. This is a dangerous thing to have happened. If it were to happen again, the consequences would be too terrible. No, it must not be allowed to happen again. Once and for all, the Star Brand power must be eradicated. And though it will certainly mean my own destruction, I must be the instrument of that eradication. And it
Wait,
sort
wait a
of.
minute, wait a minute. If something is too terrible to comprehend, in
How
order
did he
to know that
comprehend?
it's terrible, wouldn't you already have to comprehend it?
His mind is gone, like he has like been confronted with Cthulhu in the Lovecraft mythos. All these terrible secrets of the universe that'll like destroy your mind. Possibly, I don't know.
I do like the
But
art here, though.
he
Jupiter is a little
disappears in
shaky,
a.
but the Starman action like floating in space looks kind of cool.
You know, the Star Brand has always been like the only new universe title to actually spend a lot of time in space. I kind of enjoy that sometimes. I don't
Yeah.
know. What was I going to say though? Power must be eradicated, even though it's my own destruction. So honestly, probably back, you know, when I first read this, I would have thought that, you know, Starboy would pick that very moment to show up. Right when Burnley is facing down Voight. Oh yeah, I'll show
Oh,
you.
right.
And
There
then
goes
like Starboy's
the
like, hey, I gotta take the power. Never mind. Catch you later there, Burnley. Oh,
power.
I'll just show myself out then, Voight. Okay. Thanks for putting up with me. Anyway,
The coffee in his face and run, I guess.
I guess. Anyway, Star Baby disappears in a puff of Star Brand power. Back to not the next page. So, you're making a big mistake, Voight. Mr. President, remember that, Burnley. Now who's doing the Mr. Burns? In
It
addition
was
to
you who
being.
was doing the
Sorry. Okay.
Mr.
Busted. In addition to being the most powerful paranormal, I also hold the most powerful office on Earth. Wow. Okay, none of this multipolar world in 1988, I guess. There's a sort of fire or energy around Voight, and it's sort of extruding itself into a large hand that is attacking Wilford Brimley. Hold it, maybe, but you don't deserve the respect it's due. And as to you being the most powerful paranormal, we'll just have to see about that. And he, Burnley, sort of swings back, and the force goes right back at Voight and knocks him over. I never would have guessed you had such raw power, Burnley. But raw is the key word. You are new at this, I can tell. Stands up and starts glowing all over the place. Well, I have been refining my powers for over 2 years now. Certainly, I spent 8 years on my PhD, so that's really my primary weapon, but I didn't think I could talk you to death.
What's he
Anyway.
doing anyway? It's like, purple energy and then like a swirling purple fire spitting something or other. He's just kind of showing off.
Yeah, showing off is probably the word. In the previous panel, he like one of his hands starts glowing with that same color. So, like, is that a real thing? But
He's
then when
building
it's
up
like
power.
everywhere, it's like I don't know. Yeah, it could be like you're looking at from the point of view of being attacked again, like just another energy
It's building up his
thing.
charge attack, I guess. It's holding the B button down.
Smash that X and triangle at the same time, try to build up. There is nothing I cannot do, Burnley. Nothing! I can summon the power of every paranormal on Earth if I wish. And more! And I can wield each of those powers as if it were my own. Now, speaking of no background, we've got no background. But Burnley is standing there with sort of whipped by the wind, and you got a nice couple of panels of sort of pose offs here. And probably the bottom of 19, that's probably one of my favorite shots of old Wilfred. I see a lot of flash and fizzle, Voight, but maybe you don't know about my power. It's a piece of the original power, Voight, the power that generated the Voight event, the power that created all the paranormals. The power that destroyed Pittsburgh. And he's just basically, building up the charge himself. Like we all know it's how the Starbrand just, well, you let the power rise and nothing's going to hold you back.
He's doing
But
the parry and reversal.
yeah, it's sort of more from the beginning of the issue, he continues. Maybe you can have all the powers, Voight, but I'm guessing you can't have them all at once. And he throws some energy at Voight, who sort of reels from it. I'm guessing you can't be big and small, fire and ice. So he shows this Voight's body being amazingly contorted by, you can imagine, a paranormal that turns into flame versus one that turns into ice, which actually we did see in DP7, so. But in all of one body, you just start this looking like you're tearing yourself apart. Try it, Voight. See how your parasite power can handle everything. And as he sort of is stumbling on the ground, so Renly is taking some damage here, but he's gesturing at Voight, who is now like a lizard creature with cyclops eyes blasting out of him and Satan wings and a tail. So that's all going well.
Wasn't the Star Brand power supposed to be infinite? Why is Burnley tired?
I think it's more psychological than anything. He's
I
like
need my
Neo.
nap.
I don't know. It's after 5 o'clock. I'm supposed to have dinner and talk to DP7. I don't know.
Forgot to
So
get
the guy's
his
outside.
sugars.
Mr. President, Mr. President. And some secret serviceman says, get out of the way and bust the door down. I can't tell if this is the same secret service guy as that backup story. I don't know.
The goof
I
off
doubt
one.
it. Yeah, those guys were clowns, but this one seems competent. Anyway, the aide rushes in and goes directly to Voight. He's alive, but only just. Call the paramedics. The serviceman is holding a gun on Brimley. The old guy, what about him? He's dead. What the heck could have happened here? Everyone's like body is smoking and this stud there's flames all over the place. Ah,
That's what we're trying to
last,
figure out.
what indeed. Last page. New York City. We've got Dave, Randy, and grandson Billy. I guess we should face up to the obvious, Billy. It's been 3 days without any word out of Washington.
Your grandpa's dead. You lose your kid and you're out. You just know we're not paying for your cereal.
Look, we've got three kids already. We're not
They
the
don't like you.
paranormal
You can't
orphan.
get along with them.
So they think Voight must have won. Oh, don't be so sure of that, young fella. Gramps, you're disgusting. I mean, okay. Gramps. Yeah, it's the, regenerating alien form that we see sometimes with the Star brand.
Which makes
Gramps.
no sense.
Yep, the Star Boy warned me this might happen if I somehow managed to get myself killed. Some kind of regenerative form, he called it. I was able to sneak out of the morgue when it brought me back to life. The resurrection is permanent. The look is temporary. Hopefully. What about Voight? He's alive, but powerless. I dumped everything I've got into him, triggered all his paranormal powers at once, burned him out. I don't think it'd be any kind of threat to you or your lady friends ever again. Then we've won? Oh, maybe, big fella. I wonder. Next finale.
Damn.
Thanks for keeping it ambiguous there, Brimley.
Shouldn't this have been a DP7 issue?
Okay.
It seems like that might almost make a little more sense because it directly
DP7 guest
continues the
starring
story.
Star brand. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing to me. I had vague memories of Voight at the it'll be showing up at the end of the series. I would have thought that there was like a more of a slow build, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Certainly the idea was probably to have him as the big bad for a while, but even that being said, like, okay, let's just start wrapping things up instead. The pacing over the last few weeks, it has literally gone from like, Voight is out there, Voight is here now, Voight is threatening all of us to. Oh, Voight's gone. Okay.
Well, he's not dead.
He's not dead, but I mean, he is elected, and then this is like immediate, like, it feels like, very, very hard on the heels of the election.
Yeah, especially considering that last page on DP7, or was it the, no, it was the backup story where it was like building him up as this like big, total, huge, scary threat to humanity. Like we might not survive the next couple days kind of thing. And then it was like, oh, well, I mean, some old guy zapped him.
Yeah. I certainly,
Got killed by oatmeal guy. How menacing could this be?
I really think the, whatever potential he did have, wow. I would have definitely left him for another month or two, just do something with him in office.
I would have thought that he would just be the catalyst for the war thing, and then, he would
Another,
be
yeah.
continuing as like this behind the scenes character that maybe is causing all these problems and doesn't have our best interests in mind or whatever, but.
If there's, yeah, the sense you got from that short story just last week was that I'm going to do something, sacrifice as many people as it takes, blah, blah, blah. And a good way to do that is, yeah, I'm going to have a war. do whatever I have to consolidate power. I don't know. But
Right.
yeah, it would have been a good, better lead in to the future war. That's our theory now. Okay, we'll say that.
Yeah, it's definitely in the mid story bits are starting to do something, I guess. Like instead of just totally having Ken Connell ranting and like making fun of Jim Shooter, now we're only kind of like half making fun of Jim Shooter and the other half building to something.
Yeah, Connell and Starbaby are there, but they're not annoying. Connell just seems sad. But he's not being sort of tortured for no reason. Starbaby seems to know, have figured something out. Although, again, why and how? Okay.
Yeah, I read the they think I'm powerless, they shun, they mock me, I'll show them the power will be mine again, I'll be back, as like, I mean, this is pretty close to when Valiant started up. So like Shooter would be kind of on the outs, but then trying to make a comeback. And I would guess people in the comic book world probably knew what he was up to because he'd be like talking to artists and writers to kind of get him on board and stuff, but
Could be. It's
I mean, it's definitely still
is a
digging
parallel
at
is
Shooter.
good, but yeah, I mean, he's not like a monster. He's just sort of wandering around. So it felt to me like Byrne had like run out of energy and I'm dumping on the character. You know what I mean? Maybe your Valiant timeline makes sense.
There's
Maybe.
certainly like the Ken is starting to look like the old man, right? From the beginning. And then we've got, universe has folded in on itself for one brief instant. And then the Star Baby looks like Ken, right? So, like, there's some weird shenanigans going on with how this is going to end, I'm sure, which I think you have read, but I have not.
Yeah, it's I have a semi decent, I think, memory of what the thrust of it all was. So yeah, you're seeing some of those pieces fall into place. How does Burnley fit into this? I don't know. I don't know.
If the Star Baby turns into the alien, and then like Ken turns into the old man trying to steal the power from the other Ken, that could almost work, right?
You can still imagine fun things happening out of this, but it's I wonder, because if you were like, okay, I'm going to do this for whatever 9 issues, and then at the last one I will sort of put things back together, except you already said you wouldn't put Pittsburgh back, but I will put Ken back as the Star Brand, and we'll definitely have him flying around and doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe it. But it does say also next finale. He is well aware that the next issue is the last issue. So,
Right.
I
The
mean, they've
happiest
promised. Yeah, go ahead.
the happiest ending would be as if like the last page of Star Brand 19 is like the first page of Star Brand 1. Like we just went through some weird cycle and like, hey, everybody's back and it's fine again.
That's very that's yeah that's a
Anything
good
less
way.
than that, I'm gonna hate on it.
Set your expectations accordingly, folks out there.
I
The
just want Duck back to life and nothing else will make me happy.
will continue whatever working on my counter argument to whatever they come up with.
Yeah.
But yeah, that means this will be my last Star Brand performance. Oh man.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me go back and redo my oh, it's time to check your diabetes or whatever. I gotta say, so overall though, this issue was surprisingly coherent. I
Right?
don't know if it's like just I've run through all the time wasting dumping on characters for a personal vendetta, whatever thing you had in the first place. I remember taking a test where I didn't want to take it, and I wasn't really being graded on it, but I like start just doing purposefully the wrong answer. And after a while, I just gave up because that was actually more effort than just kind of giving answers. That's kind of how this feels, is like,
Yeah.
okay, I can just do a normal comic book.
Well, I
If
mean,
it's a bit like, okay, the guy who was doing those great Superman post-crisis issues, like, finally showed up. You know what I mean?
right.
Burnley's doing that.
But
Oh,
there's
I was
like
just flying
actual.
by. I found some problems. I fixed them. Went over here and fixed some more. Oh.
Actual characters doing things, you know, fight scene, yeah. Feels like a comic book. I was really I was surprised when I read this one the first time too. I'm like, oh hey, like that wasn't bad. Like I was expecting just, you know, kind of decent art and a story that made no sense and went nowhere. But I mean, there's some story bits I can quibble with, but like it's actually competent. Like this is a decent book.
Yeah, the book has promised a couple of times now the secrets of the new universe, the white event, and you know, what the Star Brand is. And they're I guess they'll hold the rest of their cards till next issue, but what we do have in this is maybe I remembered enough of it that it always sort of stayed with me that the power of the Star Brand sort of is the power for all the white event, all the paranormals. So it's maybe if you don't realize that at first, you can get beaten up by some paranormals or something, but there's a you shouldn't be overpowered by any of them, because you know this is whatever, it may be more raw, uncontrolled, what have you, but so that sort of take on what the Star Brand power is in sort of relation to the new universe. I always sort of liked that
That
aspect.
I don't mind. The like infinite power that can do anything you'd ever think about is just kind of weak, right? So
Questionable.
like, all right, I can fly because I want to fly. I can activate his powers because that's what I feel like doing. You know, it's just like I'm invincible to, you know, all the other powers because why not? I think that I am kind of stuff. It's just kind
Yeah, when
of,
I although yeah, you get into things like
it's too
these last
unlimited.
couple of issues where Burnley is creating a, like, you know, nice areas in the midst of the pit, and then he's practiced on that blue area of the moon. Yeah, how do you create trees if you're just creating, manipulating raw power? Come on, man. I mean, yeah, I
Yeah.
don't know. So anyway, but there's a overall, I would say, yeah, Nukin and B to B plus.
I really struggle with calling a John Byrne Star Brand comic Nukin. Just philosophically, I guess, at this point.
And the DP7s actually were showed up relatively in character. It wasn't,
Yeah,
you know,
for a
perfect.
new you, like in the wrong book thing, it was not bad.
They have like that when they showed up in Psi-Force or Injustice, it was always like, who are these guys?
Yeah, they were best they were in Kickers Inc., basically just done by the DP7 team.
That's right. Kickers Inc. Score one for you.
I'll just keep rolling that back in there. Yeah, I would give it a B, but I refuse to call it Nukin.
It's good enough. Well, let's see.
Until Duck comes back to life, there will be no Nukin Star Brand issues.
Never forgive you.
Read my lips.
Never. Good enough.
Right. You want to talk about, should we start this, whatever this backup thing happens to be?
Let's do our best. I will give you a handout with the credits. Did you get the?
Yeah, no, that's a
Because
little odd. They just hit.
they only give you the last name, so it is from the previous issue. Gregory Wright, writer; Kieran Dwyer, penciler; Jackson Guice, Inker.
Gotcha. Thank you. So yeah, I guess it's like a multi-panel opening where Justice starts off looking like he's in a cave, but then it starts to look like he's inside someone's guts or something. Like it's all gross. And yeah, the names of the creators are like in those alien egg pods with like the face hugger things popping out kind of deal. So it's a little gooey. And so it starts as Justice. John Tenson has seen his share of nightmares. This one doesn't belong to him. He has been summoned, pulled into someone else's nightmare against his will. I get a little star, see star brand number 16. But yeah, because we had like this random weird dream guy who kind of attacked Nightmask, and he was never really introduced. And then what was the end? Was he was just scared away by the idea of justice? Was that right? I don't know. It's been a
That
minute. I should
it
have went
was,
back and looked at it.
yeah, it was hard to understand even what the, you know, and he mentions justice, but he, or the justice killer, and it's like, you mean the guy justice? It seemed a little off, but.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess it's like, I don't know, it feels like a fill-in issue of a backup story or something a little bit, but we'll see. Because yeah, we get,
Layers of Inception here.
Madman 2. Welcome, Justice Killer. Pick a door. Find me if you dare. Stop me before I kill again, if you can. And there's three, I don't know, I guess like video game-y kind of doors. If you're on the like bio goop level of the game, you gotta pick one. So I feel like he needs to like shoot it and it opens. But again, maybe I just play too many video games. But he's like, what do we have behind door number one? And I mean, I guess best could be said is like one of those alien chest burster things kind of pops out and takes a bite at Justice, with a Glarstrak, which is kind of fun, I guess. So it talks. Justice kind of dodges, moves his hand like he's gonna hit it with the old sword, but nothing happens. He's kind of looking at his hand like, what? He's like, and the narration continues, ha. Oh, can't get the old sword hand to fire. It's like, oh, you need some pills for that. I mean, so sorry. My place, my rules, you know. Do come in though. And then another one opens up. And I was trying to figure out like what sci-fi wormy thing that would be. It's like more like a Sarlacc or something from Star Wars with the extra wormy things coming out.
Yeah, it's like dry tentacles or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarlacc's good.
I guess
Good
we're getting a
tentacle.
little tentacle porny here. So yeah, the thing kind of grabs him and drags it Justice into its mouth. And then we get like a panel of him kind of like wrapped up in the coils of the tentacles. He's like, why don't you hang around? Can't free yourself? He's like, ah, you're no challenge. So the thing like lets him go and he kind of falls. The mystery dream guy narrates a little bit more. And he's like, I was foolish to even consider that you could free me from my torment. Still, even with the hundreds of souls I've consumed, I'm still trapped. A kid who goes by the name of Nightmask brought you to my attention, so I brought you here to bring me home. So then we get to see, like, at least an image of the guy. He's kind of looks like a 80s action movie villain or like somebody that Rocky would fight. Just a big guy, kind of in commando gear with a blonde flat top, but sitting on a throne of skulls, surrounded by beautiful, mostly naked women. So I guess he's got a thing going on here.
The story's getting better all the time.
Finally, Justice kind of falls in front of him in the skulls and then kind of gets kicked in the face. And it sounds like the guy wants him to kill, he wants Justice to kill him, or at least that's what he's saying. Justice kind of pulls his hand up one more time. He's like, this man is insane. I must try harder to draw my sword for vengeance. And he actually zaps the guy and kills him. But of course, this is like some wacky dream world. So he kind of pops back into life, says, my place, my rules. Justice then puts his hand on the guy's face and puts shields in his mouth, which he's been doing more and more recently. And then expands them and like pops the guy like a balloon, I guess. Again, like it's the dream world and you can't kill him, so maybe what's the point? But the guy kind of pops with a wa woam, PWOAM. Like we're just not even trying with sound effects anymore. I don't know. And Justice kind of like tossed to the edge of a ravine of some sort, thinking, yeah, another couple feet, I would have fallen into the abyss. And then we get a whole bunch of voices coming from the outside of the panel. And we cut to the second to last page. And like, I guess the guy exploded into a bunch of little tiny versions of himself, like little kid versions. And, you know, one's got a magnifying glass and like a devil costume and a sword, and one's got angel wings. So it's just kind of like pretty random stuff. And you know, they kind of toss Justice over the edge, kind of in the end. Justice thinking, can't hang on. And the last thing we get from the dream is all the little mini versions saying, hooray. And then thinking, you mustn't leave without my profound thanks. I only wanted to be sure that I could not be destroyed. So, his motive is a little confusing, whether he actually wanted to die or he didn't want to die. So
Is
then
it
he
with like
brought.
villain motives in the new universe? It's like talking to Babel. We want to form the club of anti-paranormals that the paranormals would join and then fight the paranormals. Wait, what?
Yeah, maybe we got it from the same villain motivation Rolodex, I guess. And then we get a last page, and it's like a nine panel grid. It says, in a place far away, John Tenson awakens from the nightmare, very much alive, very unsure of its reality. Here, in the mind of a madman, it is a certain reality, deadly certain. And then I guess we see this dream guy in real life, and he's in a padded room with a straitjacket and just like total crazy eyes. Says, one would think, what harm could a man in a straitjacket locked up in a rubber room cause? This madman can pull you into his dreams and kill you for real, for kicks, and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. So I guess like the people holding him don't really know what his deal is, or you know that he has any of these powers. He's just in the padded room, and then we get a bunch of lab coat guys reading the newspaper. And it's like, we just got a report from Remsen at Fort Benning. Says our madman paranormal just might be one of the one killing folks in their sleep. Kid'll be here at 3 p.m. If this guy checks out, we'll have to lobotomize him. So, okay, and then no real clue if Keith Remsen had really anything to do with this part of the story, or I guess like that's just a follow-up from when Keith had a run-in with him from before, and then he's like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. Or he did some internet research. Wait, no, he did some research, library microfiche research, and found the guy. I don't really know. We get a
Yeah, maybe
last
when he shows up, he'll
I'm
explain
thoroughly
it.
confused why this story is in here. But then we get a last cut of the Philadelphia Star newspaper. Sleep of death, 342 die in sleep, no cause found. Scientist baffled, Gruenwald jailed again, which I thought was funny.
Grunwald was blown up in the new you. What are you talking about?
That's true. That's right, Gruenwald is dead. Yeah, there's a little bit
The
of that I don't quite get, but like, what is this Robin Hood question mark from what was it, Ed Magalong, which I think did some design work for Marvel. I found him, but nothing super significant.
yeah, that's that. I just saw that. I've never seen that name before. Yeah, the backup guys were, like I said, it seemed to be like a crowd of young dudes who kind of always joking with each other into these things, but
Yeah, it feels a little bit of like the assistant editor's week or something. That
this
kind of
is
vibe.
again like that first issue, this sort of very, it's much more outsider alternative indie kind of art style, and
Right. Which kind of works for the dream stuff, but at this point, it just
it's
seems I mean, I guess it's good that they wrapped up that loose end from that other backup story, but it just didn't seem. The other one just kind of came out of nowhere, like this kind of a nothing character.
Yeah, if it's kind of building to a decent payoff, okay, but it's second of at least three, okay. So yeah, you're
Yeah.
just kind of,
Probably could have left
it's
us hanging on
weird.
this one and had like a Mac Browning issue or like what the Medusa web's gonna do with the Mac's armor.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's a I don't know. We're just clearing out our inventory stories. I don't know. Interesting, but I don't know. It's more clear than the first one, but that's not saying much. I
Yeah.
was like, what the heck are they doing?
Thankfully, the
Okay.
main issue was fine, so then we didn't have like a double dose of
Oh, man,
pointlessness.
yeah, sometimes
Yeah,
it's rough out there, folks. We will admit it.
I
We'll be the first ones to admit it. Well, okay, enough of the madman. Madman number two.
Right.
The rest of the book, let's see. We've got an ad for She-Hulk, and that is actually pretty close to that Stephanie pose on page one.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, this is. Burns ready to take over She-Hulk or reboot it, and I think that run will do pretty well for him. That people kind of remember it enjoyably.
Yeah, I picked it up a while back, but it never really grabbed me, but
I haven't seen checked it out in many years. The official timeline.
I
It
picked
was
up
let.
one tidbit from that, and it's kind of like in the middle column, September 6th, 1986, they were talking about Kickers Inc. number one still. But it says Jack Magna Conti attempts in vain to use his murdered brother's intensifier to give three other members of his football team paranormal powers similar to his. I think Darlene was in there too.
Oh,
She's always
yeah.
left out. Not realizing his powers stemmed from the white event, not the machine. And I think if I remember right, that was still kind of vague. So yeah, I just double checked and all four people are in the intensifier, so Darlene had a shot at it, even though everybody seems to forget about
I was listening to our podcast for that first issue, and it's the podcast, or I haven't gone back to look, but it was saying that like 3 weeks later after Steve's death, you have them going back to the intensifier or maybe forming Kickers Inc. It
Yeah.
seems a little faster in this. It's like 3 days later between but I forget, like maybe the death of Steve was in the previous entry, so.
Yeah, so death after death of Steve, then it goes 3 weeks later. And
Okay, so
then
that's like maybe August into September,
yeah, so
something like
that's
that.
September intensifier, and then it says a few days later, that's the kickers, so that's the 3 days thing. So that's still kind of it checks out for the timeline being accurate, I suppose.
I'm a little surprised there, but cool. So the I noticed I maybe I hadn't even picked up on it before, the top and bottom for the official timeline page has like these months and years.
Yeah.
The numbers in the New Universe typeface are a little hard to read at times. And it also gives us a bunch more letters in the title in the New Universe
Oh, that's a good
typeface.
point. Yeah, like the T and stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple there that we hadn't seen before, so that's cool. Then yeah, I don't know. So it goes from 7, so July 1986 to 87, all of 88, and now we're edging into 89 here. So
I have to say, I like the. I mean, we got the New Universe podcast logo from like Josh from the Facebook page, and he kind of like guessed at some types, like the O and the A and such. I kind of like his better. Then like the really strange stylized A that's in this one. Spot
Okay, I
on
see
with the
what.
C. The T is weird too. So like honestly, like his T works better.
Josh is like a designer or something,
Yeah, I
so
think he has a
he's.
graphic design background, so
Yeah,
it's fine work, fine work.
his work is yeah, I don't know.
For a Canadian, he did okay.
Yeah. Ah, crap. I was just gonna say something about Canada. What the heck was it? Yeah,
Mounties, maple
the
syrup, and
there's not much else to tell you. Don't know. Okay. That cover is still the cool Spider-Man jacket.
I love that back cover. I think that rivals just like the funny, like, because it's like a regular dude in a Spider-Man Halloween costume with the cool jacket on. And then, like, they drew in the background, like, he's supposed to be like standing on the edge of the building. But he kind of looks like he's just like squatting. And like the bottoms of his feet are kind of dirty. So it's like definitely like mall Spider-Man. Hey kids, buy this cool jacket. I'm not a sex offender. Why do you keep asking?
Oh, good times, good times. Yes. Ah, Canada,
Sometime
you've
before the next issue, we gotta look up and see if that jacket is eBayable, though. I'm sure it is.
don't have to fight you over the last one. I don't know.
Yeah, you can have the black one, and I'll have the silver one or something.
Perfect. Swinging style. There we
Yeah,
go.
my wife will never forgive me.
You spend how much
Or let me back in
on
the
what?
house.
Oh, indeed.
Hey, we covered these new universe books cover to cover, people, cover to cover.
I do not remember what I was going to say about Canada, but I did look up when Bush, who in our world won this election, took office January 20th. So that it, this issue wasn't dated, but we were
That's
talking about
true, yeah.
like election was just a, you know, very a week or two ago in one book. So you've gone ahead a whole 2 months almost, month and a
Yeah,
half.
well, the numbers on the timeline border do say 1989 one, so we could be in January.
Okay.
Maybe they are competently planning out these things.
I do enjoy the, like, yeah, we'll definitely cover from the beginning to the current moment, even though, yeah, you've got about 2 months left and you haven't even gotten up through 86 yet.
Yeah. How far could we possibly make it? Like issue 7 of something?
Oh, if we see a seven, I will definitely be impressed.
We're on Night Mask 3, so.
Okay. Yeah, let's say it's 50-50 to get to the 7th month.
But yeah, there's only like a couple months left of comics, unless they somehow continued into the war, which I doubt they would.
I am 100% sure it'll end with
Yeah.
the main comics. The prestige
The
format won't have any special.
issue 31 books will just say yada 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 and then it'll end. It'll give the timeline of the last issue.
You read the books, you know what happened. I guess
Make your
nothing
own
more we can.
timeline, you lazy potatoes.
That's what, they beat it, all these like origin stories to death. We're still getting like those randos from the clinic. Oh, Interface. Pamela Layton enters the clinic with the ability to do something.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oh well.
Ah.
I guess that's it for this week's episode. Next time we check in on teen runaways still stuck in Siberia. Psi-Force.
Psi-Force number 30. This is it. The absolutely, positively final battle against the awesome power of Rodstvow. And do a little more wrestling promo here. And as if that weren't enough, Justice is on hand too. But is he friend or foe? Written by Fabian Nicieza. Penciled by Rodney Ramos. And inked by Christopher Ivey. 32 pages. Mando paper. Direct sales only. $1.50. And if Rod's file has a lot of dialogue, I am not going to get through
You're
that in one
gonna
piece.
need some lozenges.
Yeah.
Although it's not the positively final battle because we already the justice thing said that it was going to be continued in his issue, so whatever, we'll find out. Yeah, Rodney Ramos. Kickersinc.com. In the meantime, you can email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, not the void of the new universe. He's dead, or no, depowered. And we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
I always liked that it Voight's whole platform was just vote for Voight. It
Because
was,
I told you to.
it's your universe, idiot.
Was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
He seems normal enough.
The president has to have powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men.
No one wants to be my friend.
Ken Connell will be back.
Promise or threat? I don't
Something.